International Epilepsy Day, right? One comes later in March, I think, and then this is obviously in February. But we're talking about the same thing. Epilepsy in children. Let me start with you, Dr. Dakwa. Is it a big issue?
Yes. Epilepsy is a very common disorder.
Okay.
Worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad thing is that many of it is undiagnosed.
Okay.
So even with the numbers that we get, it's estimated that over 50 million people are living with epilepsy.
Okay.
And a vast number of these are undiagnosed. Some people don't even know that they have, what they have is called epilepsy.
Right.
And in sub-Saharan Africa, even the treatment for these conditions has some limitations. So it is a very important thing we need to look at.
Okay. And if we swing to children, if I may, Hannah Sharon, I mean, obviously, if it's a big problem, it must reflect when we're looking at children as well, when we're considering the kids. Is it a big problem there as well?
I think it's an even bigger problem in children, because we know that, yes, 50 million people worldwide have epilepsy.
Mm-hmm.
But most of these individuals have the onset of their symptoms beginning in childhood.
Okay.
So right from the newborn period to adolescents, who we see up to 18 years of age, a lot of them have epilepsy beginning early on in life.
Okay.
And it's because there are some preventable causes of epilepsy that occur, especially in childhood.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if you have certain infections occurring in the first 28 days of life, like meningitis, which can affect the fluid that surrounds the brain and the spinal cord,
mm-hmm.
if that's not treated properly, it can lead to epilepsy later on in life.
Okay.
If a child is born and they have a condition called birth asphyxia,
mm-hmm.
which means their brain doesn't get enough oxygen when they are delivered, it can lead to epilepsy later on in life.
Mm-hmm.
And we also know that there are certain genetic changes or changes in individuals' DNA, which results in a higher incidence of epilepsy in some families. Unfortunately, a lot of the time, or some of the time, we are not able to tell exactly what causes epilepsy. So we know the diagnosis is epilepsy,
mm-hmm.
but we haven't pinpointed exactly what the cause is.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. If you just joined us 13 minutes past the hour of 2 on Joy 99.7 FM, we're discussing epilepsy in children, how it's diagnosed, classified, how it's treated. Some of you would ask, is there a cure? Treatment and cure differ. So we need to talk about that as well. The kind of medications that are used, the kind of management, should I say, protocols, stigma, mm-hmm. And many, many more things. If you have any concerns, questions, WhatsApp is 055 11 11 997. Shortly, we will activate the phone lines. We're live on Facebook, YouTube, and X. Okay, swinging back to Dr. Dakwa. So we haven't exactly said what epilepsy is, all right? So let's pinpoint what we're talking about that we say is such a big deal. Epilepsy, what exactly is it?
So I'll start by talking about the brain.
Okay.
Everybody's brain is different, organized in a unique way, but there are general characteristics that define every brain.
Mm-hmm.
We have different lobes of the brain, and then we have other structures that are similar if we take any human brain.
Okay.
Now, when you have a likelihood, or what we call a propensity,
mm-hmm.
to have an unusual electrical activity of the brain, usually it comes like a burst of electrical activity in the brain.
Okay, let me just jump in here, slow you down for the benefit of my listeners. Unusual electrical activity presupposes that there is usual or regular electrical activity.
Yes.
That is supposed to be there.
Yes.
So already you're saying something has deviated from a certain normal or normative pattern.
Yes.
So unusual electrical activity in the brain. Okay.
Yes. I would like to use the example of ECG.
Mm-hmm.
When ECG supplies power to our homes and our workplaces,
mm-hmm.
there's a certain flow of current.
All right.
To each and every department.
Okay.
And then if there's a problem somewhere, let's say there's an overload or maybe like a tension load,
mm-hmm.
in a particular place, we begin to see these sparks happening everywhere. That's how the brain also communicates. The brain is like an electrical system.
Okay.
And there's communication between each of the cells through these electrical channels. So if there's this unusual focus of electrical bursts, then we have certain symptoms and signs that we think is an epilepsy.
Okay, so it's irregular, it is unusual.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Dr. Mills, Hannah Sharon, mentioned possible causes, okay? So if it is caused by, let's say she mentioned meningitis, encephalitis, or something like that, would we consider that unusual? Would it fit into the definition that you are building for us to understand?
Okay. I think that's an important distinction we need to make.
Mm-hmm.
Some epilepsies will cause what we call a seizure.
Okay.
But not all seizures will be from an epilepsy.
Okay.
So when you have secondary causes, like she rightly mentioned, meningitis, even in the adults, when you have strokes, when you have brain tumors,
mm-hmm.
when you have some chemical imbalances, all these can give
it
you
can lead
a
to
seizure.
A seizure, which is the unusual electrical activity.
Yes.
But that does not translate automatically.
You have epilepsy.
To epilepsy.
So the International League Against Epilepsy has three unique definitions for what to qualify as epilepsy.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is that you have at least two unprovoked seizures. So unprovoked means that all the things I mentioned earlier are not the causes.
Okay.
Happening at least 24 hours apart.
Okay.
We can diagnose a patient as having epilepsy.
A minimum of two unprovoked,
yes.
right, seizures.
Yes.
24-hour interval between the two.
Yes.
Would qualify as...
as the first diagnosis of epilepsy.
A first diagnosis.
Yes.
Okay.
The second diagnosis is that sometimes you can have an insult in the brain. Let's say an adult gets a stroke.
Okay.
Over time, there's a propensity for that scar that is formed
scar
there
tissue.
To be a focus of abnormal electrical activity in
mm-hmm.
the brain. And if that is the case, we can... Even if the patient has one seizure
mm-hmm.
and then there's something there that can give the person a propensity for another seizure later, we can diagnose the person as epilepsy.
Okay. All right. Just a sec. Folks, if you just joined us, 18 minutes already past the hour of 2, we're delving into epilepsy in children, its diagnosis, its classification, which is very important.
Yes.
You may have a seizure, and I will ask the doctors later, we hear of febrile or childhood convulsions. Are they seizures, or in fact, let me put it this way. Do they form epilepsy, or can we say if you had convulsions at birth or in childhood, you have epilepsy, all right? So they're defining for us now, all right, so that we learn those things. Note down your questions. WhatsApp is 055-1111-997. We're live on Facebook, YouTube, and X. This is Ultimate Health on Joy 99.7 FM. I dare say it is getting charged. But that's what we're talking about. Okay, so let me throw that back and swing to the pediatrician for a moment. So, for example, convulsions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, would that qualify?
There are different terms for seizures.
Okay.
One of them is convulsions.
Okay.
So when someone says a convulsion, they are usually referring to a seizure.
A seizure.
Yes.
Good.
Okay. And in children, like you just mentioned,
mm-hmm.
you could have febrile seizures
okay.
or febrile convulsions.
Yeah.
And all that this means is that usually when the child has a fever,
mm-hmm.
then they are more likely to have seizures.
Okay.
It doesn't happen in all children. Most commonly, we look at children between the ages of 6 months to 5 or 6 years of age.
Okay.
That's when their brains are at increased risk of having seizures. And when a child has a febrile seizure, a febrile convulsion, it does not necessarily translate into them developing epilepsy.
Okay.
Although it could be a risk factor for them developing epilepsy later on in
okay.
life.
Right. Great. Spot on, as they say. If you have your questions, you are thinking about these, or you have your own, misconceptions, or information from somewhere, please share with us. WhatsApp 055-1111-997, Facebook, YouTube, and X. This is Ultimate Health on Joy 99.7 FM. So coming back from that, right, and you said, well, there's certain age ranges where you'd expect to see these features or presentations in children.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make the seizures themselves, or if they were febrile, for example,
mm-hmm.
When they have a fever, does that make it a normal developmental feature for children?
I'd say that everyone is allowed to have one seizure in their lifetime.
Okay.
So if a child has one seizure,
Joy,
yes, you need to bring them to the hospital so we can take a look at them.
Okay.
it could increase their risk of epilepsy if there are other risk factors. For instance, if there's a family history of febrile seizures or epilepsy, if they have other changes in their brain structure, that could also increase their risk of epilepsy.
Okay.
But febrile seizures on their own do not lead to epilepsy.
Okay, get it straight. Don't get it mixed up. Don't get it twisted, right? Even though we're talking about wires. Dr. Dakwa, let me throw this. I like throwing it out there. Though over the years, I normally pick it up. But so, you are Dakwa. Where do you come from?
I come from Asante Jobin.
Asante Jobin. Yeah. You are Mills. Where do you come from?
Mills is my marital name. My husband is Ga.
Your husband is Ga?
Yes.
Okay.
I am Fanti.
You are Fanti.
Yes.
So what do the Fantis call epilepsy?
Osro.
Osro. And the Ashantis?
Esro.
Esro. Okay. Folks, I'm going to throw that out there, right? You share it with me on WhatsApp, man. What's your in your local dialect, okay? And why are we talking about Esro, right? Where does that come from?
Well, sometimes people believe that these things are from some form of lightning striking somebody.
Okay.
And then they having those things.
Esro.
Yes.
Folks, you see? This is why we have discerning listeners, though. That is the only reason we open the phone lines, because you are discerning, right? And then you join the qualified professionals and practitioners I bring into the studio. But okay, right? So, Mweng, right? Uh-huh. In other places, well, literally translated, the falling sickness, yes. And many other things, right? Epilepsy. Uncontrolled, unprovoked electrical activity in the brain. Okay, is there anything else we need to add to this definition?
So you may have seizures that are convulsive, like mm-hmm. she mentioned, where you have some movements happening.
Mm-hmm.
But in some patients, you will not have abnormal movements.
Okay.
Sometimes the epilepsy may manifest as loss of awareness.
Okay.
Sometimes it may manifest as just someone dropping, as if they've had a faint.
So where you mention some movements, so that's motor activity.
Yes.
Whether I'm twitching, shaking, or jerking, or whatever, those are movements.
Yes.
All right? Overt, visible. We can see them, right? And you're suggesting that you can have a seizure and nothing is visible, right? So those are the ones we term as absences and so on.
Yes, we can have an absence seizure.
Right?
Usually happens in children. They will be awake, but they will have loss of attention to whatever you are telling them, and they come back briefly as if nothing has happened.
Okay.
And then for some patients, we have what we call drop attacks. Those ones are called atonic seizures.
Right. Okay. Yes. Folks, you're doing the course, but these people have done it long time. But it's important, because when I get into stigma, then you start to see the things people say, which maybe are misinformed. Right, if not ignorant, right, or insensitive. So that's why I'm taking my time in building this up with the doctors, Dr. David Dakwa, right, and Dr. Hannah Sharon Mills. Okay, any questions about epilepsy in children? 055-1111-997, and shortly I will activate those phone lines so that you can use them electrically, but safely. Okay, so let's come back to the build. So we have this happening in children, and Hannah Sharon suggests that, well, many of the cases of epilepsy that we say are that prevalent started off in childhood.
Yes.
Right. So can we have a look at the numbers? How prevalent is childhood epilepsy?
Okay, I think Hannah should be able to help me with that.
Hannah, you're the child in the studio.
So that appears so.
Right. So in children, how prevalent, what the magnitude of the burden we're talking about?
Let's say 1 in 26. So let's take our typical primary classroom.
Okay.
If there are 26 children in a class,
mm-hmm.
one of them is likely going to develop epilepsy.
Wow.
And yes, that's a lot, and it's important that we are aware of what epilepsy looks like.
Okay.
Not all seizures shake, and not everything that shakes is a seizure.
Okay.
And it's important that we dispel the myths. because that is one of the things that holds people back from coming to the hospital and getting treatments which is readily available. And it's important that we advocate for these children. A lot of them don't have voices, so we need to speak up for them so that they get the care that they deserve.
All right. Great stuff. If you're listening to us, then you're hearing. You can even have an absence. It looks like you are TV in class. You are stubborn. When teacher is teaching, you don't look like you're here at all. In fact, you didn't arrive. Then suddenly you're back. But you're back without the knowledge you're supposed to possess. Okay? In many situations and scenarios, you'll be whipped, punished, insulted, given nicknames, and so on and so forth. We may be dealing with a well-known common neurological disorder, okay? But we need to pinpoint it properly, and that's why we're talking about this today, epilepsy in children, okay? February 9th every year is International Epilepsy Day, and that's why I've got the docs in the studio. So let's use them, okay? Right? Let's shake them. Let's make sure they tremble. Okay. Years back, I remember somebody having a seizure right in front of Bishop Bauer School, very near Kolebu, and cars were driving around this person lying down. So I got out of my car, and with the help of a very reluctant volunteer, we moved him to the side. One of the things that was said was that, hey, if he foams at the mouth and you touch the saliva, you'll get it. Now, I wasn't too amused. I was more interested in giving first aid and doing certain things. Now, a nearby house, well, we knocked and said, can we get some water in a little container or vessel or bucket? They said, hey, my container. Right. So Dr. Hannah Sharon Mills has mentioned myths, misconceptions that translate into discrimination and stigma. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Okay. But let's understand the clinical picture. What do we see? And what really is happening to somebody when they have a seizure? Are they going to die? Are they in danger? Do they even know it's happening? Right? We need to know these things, and we're building up slowly. Normally, when I capture my doctors, I tell them there's the tendency and the danger and the vulnerability of another program next week. Right? So we take our time. Okay. So, Doc, we have an understanding. Okay.
Yes.
We may not know the cause, but how do we identify irregular, unprovoked brain activity? How do you capture this as a doctor? If you were looking at the child, what would you see? If it was happening, and if it was not happening, but you want to investigate, how do you pinpoint epilepsy?
Okay, thank you. I think this is an important question as well. Now, epilepsy will manifest in different forms. So we usually say that epilepsy is not one disorder.
Okay.
It's a variable manifestation of disorders that can happen in different individuals. But by and large, you can classify them into what we call focal or generalized. Focal means that it's happening in maybe one half of the brain.
So it's restricted to a part of the brain.
Exactly.
Focalized.
Yes.
Okay. Or focused, yeah?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then general is that it's happening in both sides of the brain, or it starts in one brain and quickly moves to the other half of the brain.
Okay, you are bringing my listeners to class.
Yes.
Again, so we have two sides of the brain, left and right hemispheres.
Yes.
Yeah? Okay, so you're saying it could be restricted to one side.
Yes.
Therefore, focal.
Yes.
Yeah? If it's crossing over or the whole brain, then we're talking about generalized seizures or epilepsy.
Yes.
Okay.
So when you have that classification, you can also look at patients who have epilepsy when they are aware.
Okay.
And people too that have the epilepsy when they are not aware.
Okay.
Yes. So with the focal, for example, you may see an individual just having jerky movements of one hand or one leg.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on the part of the brain that it affects. There may be other symptoms that you may see.
Okay.
Now, with the generalized ones, the classic generalized tonic-clonic seizure, I know I'm using a technical term, but I'll break it down so that you can understand. So most of the time, the generalized seizures, we see a patient probably sitting down comfortably. Now we see some eye rolling.
Mm-hmm.
You see the whites of the eye,
mm-hmm.
then they become stiff.
All right.
In the hands, there's posturing of the hands.
Okay.
And then there's posturing of the legs.
Stiffness, rigidity is the tonic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the tonic.
Tonic phase.
Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then this will be followed by jerky movements.
Okay.
So that is the clonic.
Chronic
phase.
Right. Tonic, yes. Chronic seizure.
Seizures.
And you may have both of these or one of them?
Yes.
Okay.
And with those ones, most of the time, the patients will not be aware of what is going on. Mm. So by the time they come back up, they don't even know what happened in the process.
Okay.
So these are some of the things you may look for. Mm. And like we mentioned earlier, not all of them will come with these tonic-clonic movements.
Okay.
Some people will be standing there and just drop.
Okay.
And then some people too, you'll be talking to them and then they don't respond. They're just staring at you. And then they come back speaking to you.
Okay.
So these are some of the things that you can look at.
Okay. So if somebody has manifested any of these things, is that reason to come to hospital and say, my child is a bit absent-minded, teachers are complaining, and I want him or her investigated, Dr. Mills? Would you encourage parents who see some of these things, okay? Or are these things regular things that we routinely check for in infants? I mean, a child is born, we should be checking some of these things. Mm-hmm. Are these things we are going to run tests to make sure whether they are present or absent?
Okay, so for children, I'd say that for any child who has a first-time seizure,
mm-hmm.
yes, report to the hospital.
Okay.
If you feel like your child is not paying attention in class or mm-hmm. is said to be absent-minded,
mm-hmm.
it could be an absent seizure and can be treated with medication.
Okay.
If a child has seizures that occur when they have a fever, they need to be seen at the hospital.
Okay.
And like we mentioned earlier, there are some risk factors in newborns, in infants and in children,
mm-hmm.
which could predispose them to having seizures and epilepsy later on.
Okay.
So for these children, we usually monitor them regularly at the OPD
okay.
or at the neurodevelopmental clinic so mm-hmm. that when these things happen, we're able to start treatment and intervene early to give them the best outcome.
Okay, so at this level, have we reached the level of specialists, or are we just in general practice, you know, seeing any doctor, any facility? At what point should we elevate this to the level of a specialist?
Unfortunately, we do not have as many pediatric neurologists as there are adult neurologists. Currently,
I was hoping you were one. You know, when I was building the pack for this program, mm-hmm. you know, and it's, oh, we have a resident who da-da-da-da-da-da. I said, okay, but she wrote, so you're not a pediatric neurologist?
No, I'm interested in pediatric neurology, but currently okay. I'm a pediatrician.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
There are only 3 pediatric neurologists in the country.
You're kidding.
3.
You are kidding.
Yes, 3.
Why?
I think neurology is generally something that people run away from. In medical school, I know I was afraid of neurology. It's one of the things I...
Look at your forehead. You're afraid of neurology.
But it's an interesting field, and it's something that occurs commonly. So I think okay. it's something that we should embrace, okay. try to get more involved in.
Okay. So I'll make sure you go. Where do I go? College?
Hey, yes. You're taking us far.
young hair to the college, right?
Definitely.
Okay. All right. So in terms of specialized personnel,
mm-hmm.
we have a deficiency.
We do.
So even if we encourage everybody to come, there's a challenge in seeing all of them. So what are we currently practicing or operating? Mm-hmm. How do we, make sure the surveillance is good enough so that we pick up the cases early?
Okay. So all general practitioners, pediatric residents, pediatricians are able to do developmental assessment.
Okay.
We're able to, and epilepsy is a clinical diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
So just by talking to the parents or the caregivers, mm-hmm. taking a good clinical history and doing a thorough physical examination,
mm-hmm.
you can pick up when a child has epilepsy
okay.
and the appropriate treatment can be initiated.
Okay. All right. So if in doubt, go to a facility, have your child checked out. Okay, most of these things would have some telltale footprints in childhood, and it can be identified and addressed. All right, I do read also that most cases are, let me use the word, treatable. Mm-hmm. I'll get that from my guest. If you just joined us, 35 minutes past the hour of 2 on Joy 99.7 FM. This is Ultimate Health. We're looking at epilepsy in children. How it's diagnosed, classified, this is very important, okay? Because the import of that diagnosis and classification is very serious, and we must be doing the right things, okay? So we've gotten this far. Okay. Dr. Akwa, anything you want to add? We're still on the page of children, right?
Yes.
And we looked at some of the antecedents and some of the history that we are interested in, and what parents should look out for and should know. And we've given them some teaspoon of some terms,
yes,
right, which are not necessary really, but it gives them an informed position to ask questions and to present at the hospital. Okay, great stuff. So we know this. We've kind of talked about types of seizures, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Have we done enough on that? Types? Some of them you have the overt motor movement, shaking and all that, and
yes,
all this. But let's talk a bit about, you know. But so why does somebody experiencing a seizure, for example, foam at the mouth? Okay, let's explain it and dispel the myths. Okay, I'm foaming because of XYZ, and the foam is this and that and that. It doesn't contain anything, or it doesn't, should I say, make you prone to infection and so on and so forth.
Yes.
Why does a person who is experiencing that type of seizure foam at the mouth?
Yes, so I think I earlier mentioned that the brain controls a lot of actions that we undertake.
Okay.
So almost every organ in the body has a control center,
okay,
in the brain. So when you have that burst of electrical activity going on in the brain, it may affect certain other functions that the brain does.
Okay.
For example, you may have a seizure and then your control of your bladder may be impaired.
Okay.
So you void.
Right.
The control of your anal sphincter may be impaired, and then you pass to without your
So essentially
knowledge.
The electrical mishap,
yes,
is pressing all sorts of buttons on your remote.
Definitely.
Which is your brain.
Yes.
So depending on where it touches and what it controls, then you have manifestations in those areas and those functions. That's what,
yes,
you're saying.
The other thing too is that when you are having the convulsive seizures,
mm-hmm,
you are not in control of your swallowing of saliva.
Okay.
So definitely as the shaking is going on, there's a likelihood that it will build up in your mouth.
In your mouth. Okay.
And then you have that.
Okay.
Some people even end up aspirating or swallowing,
they might
the
choke
into the lungs.
The lungs.
Yes.
Okay. Right. Where did this idea of it being infectious, specifically, emphatically, the saliva, and that if you touch this person, you're going to get it?
So first of all, that is not true. Epilepsy is not contagious.
Okay.
But I think it has a lot to do with the stigma that is attached to it.
You're so calm, you know, no seizures, nothing. It just is not contagious. Charlie, my listeners need to hear this emphatically. It is not infectious. You cannot catch epilepsy
you
from
cannot catch
anybody.
Epilepsy
you see
from
the way I say
anybody.
I say it in a tonic chronic way.
Yes.
Right? You cannot catch epilepsy from anybody, right? Even if you marry somebody who has it, right?
Yes.
Are we clear, class? Yes, teacher. Okay, can we continue?
So there are concerns about genetic transfers.
Okay.
So people go into families and they want to do a background check on whether somebody in the family has epilepsy. But most of the studies haven't shown a direct link that, let's say, if I have epilepsy, my child will have epilepsy.
Okay.
Those ones are very sporadic.
Emphatically, there's no one-on-one.
Yes.
Right? Transmission.
Exactly.
Right? And there's nothing of what we would say, that strong correlation that says you have this, therefore this will happen.
Exactly.
No. Okay. Right. He said that also in a calm. Charlie, Hannah, we have to up there.
Ginger.
We have to be there.
Maybe I need to calm them down because they are too scared about it.
Okay. Right. 40 minutes past year two. Let me read this one. Blessed day, naughty. I want to know whether medically epilepsy is the same as, well, I think he meant convulsion. He says convocation. I really don't know if they have a medical cure or it's just managed like some diseases like diabetes. On a personal knowledge, I have come across people with this condition who, to the glory of God, have been totally liberated and are now living normal lives without any attack after many years, to the glory of God. This, however, is religious, which can't be medically explained. Well, Prosper, you like bringing these kinds of positions. These essentially, can it be treated and effectively cured, right? So that the person is devoid of the symptoms and the presentations and the recurrent seizures, mm-hmm. right? So described and diagnosed as epilepsy. That's what Prosper in Dakuman is asking, mm-hmm. right? He wants to believe that when it remits or it is cured, then it is more likely to be explained religiously than medically. I know you are not Osofos. Can you answer that for him?
All right. So up to 70% of individuals who are diagnosed with epilepsy can be treated and cured of their epilepsy. So epilepsy has many causes, like we've spoken about. Mm-hmm. But with the right diagnosis, the right anti-seizure medication,
okay.
a lot of patients can be seizure-free. So the teaching is that once we make a diagnosis of epilepsy, we start you on anti-seizure medication.
Okay.
This anti-seizure medication needs to be taken regularly,
mm-hmm.
every day, consistently.
Okay.
With some individuals, after taking this medication for a year, 2 years, they don't have any more seizures.
Okay.
And at that point, we can think about slowly coming down on the medication, mm-hmm. and then eventually stopping while monitoring to make sure that they don't have any seizures, okay. while they're on a lower dose of the medication.
Okay. Yeah. Right, folks, you're hearing this. Phone line 030-221-6541. 030-221-6541. You can ask the questions yourself. My doctor is Dr. Hannah Sharon. Hannah Sharon Mills. You see, when people pack so much into their names. She's a pediatric specialist with the Department of Child Health, Kolibu Teaching Hospital. She's also a part-time lecturer with the University of Ghana Medical School. Dr. David Dakwa is a neurology fellow in training,
yes.
right? And a specialist.
Physician specialist
in adult medicine as well. They didn't come to play. Right, so that's why I've activated the phone line 030-221-6541. You can ask them the questions yourself. We've dispelled the myths about it being infectious and you catching it from somebody.
Yes.
Okay. That does not mean it does not exist. It's a very common neurological disorder, and even more common when we start talking about kids as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to start picking this up. Ultimate Health on Joy 99.7 FM with me, Norte by Nature.
Joy.
A lot of ends, but I'm not a neurologist. Okay. So we've understood this, right? You mentioned treatments, okay? I want to go back because we know of the electroencephalogram, the mm-hmm. EEG.
Yes.
Right. So in terms of diagnosing and classifying, you know, just explain that a little, right? Because I was pinpointing and probing, how do we detect this irregular electrical activity? Okay, that's why I've come back to that before I move to the treatment and what it does to suppress the seizure threshold.
Yes. Yeah. So the EEG, like you mentioned, is a very useful diagnostic tool. When you are being investigated for a possible seizure or epilepsy,
mm-hmm.
you go to a technician and then there's a cap that is placed on your head with what we call electrodes.
Okay.
Now, these are monitors that monitor the electrical activity of your brain.
Okay.
And then the signal is transmitted to a computer. So depending on the nature, if there's any evidence of some unusual activity of the brain waves, then we can say that this person either has epilepsy or has a likelihood for an epilepsy. But I'd like to add that not all patients who have epilepsy will have electrodiagnostic evidence on the EEG.
Okay. So what you're saying is that this electrical device will now plot your electrical activity into a form of a graph.
Yes.
That can be read by people who know how to read it.
Yes.
Okay? Right? So you have spikes, you have this, and you know what a regular normal wave is, and you know what a spike is.
Yes.
And so on. On the basis of that, you can diagnose some people, you know, or it will help to diagnose. But what you're also saying is that some people have the condition.
Yes.
Or if I may, is it disorder or condition?
A disorder.
A disorder, mm-hmm. right? Some people may have the disorder, which is sub-radar. It doesn't show on this device.
Yes.
Okay, so therefore the doctor, the clinician will rely on other
yes.
diagnostic criteria. Okay, great stuff. Okay, this is like a pink sheet, isn't it? Then, so you know how you voted.
Yeah, let me just add that if you have a seizure, it's best to do that test as early as possible, within 24 hours of when that happened.
Okay.
Usually the yield is higher.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's more visible on the EEG.
Okay. Soon after you have an episode.
Okay. Now we've understood the EEG. But there's also an electro... What? What's the one for the heart?
Cardiogram.
Electrocardiogram,
ECG.
Yes.
ECG. Huh? Okay. All right, folks. I know you people, you get it mixed up. That's why you should call 030-221-6541 Ultimate Health on Joy 99.7 FM with me
Joy,
and the people who know. Okay, looks like I do have a caller. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You sound very happy and seizure-free.
Yes.
Who am I talking
Life
to?
Life program, Dr. Anastasia.
Thank you. Who am I talking to and where are you calling from?
My name is MFA.
Mm-hmm.
Where I live at Dodua.
MFR from Dodua, share with myself and the doctors and listeners.
Yes, please. I just want to contribute to the program.
You're
my daughter also suffered seizure when she was in class 2. And it has been with her. I mean, we've been to Kolebu and all that. And they finally landed at Holy Trinity. Dr. Tila is currently taking care of her. To the glory of God, even though she has been on medication and all that, I think the frequency of getting episodes drastically dropped. And we were even scared when she was about to write a BC, but she went through successfully and currently in effect, but not a border.
Okay.
Just 2 days ago, I think she had an episode continuously, and then yesterday she experienced one. But aside that, yeah, she's doing so well. I'm grateful for the program, and when I heard it, I decided to be on it again.
Right.
Also hear my experience as well.
Right. Thank you for sharing. But let me just pick on something significant, which was that. The fact that your daughter is living with this disorder, though it has been reduced in terms of frequency of seizures, it informed your choice whether she went for boarding or non-residential or day. That's what you said, right?
Yes, please.
Okay.
So she's actually a day student.
She's a day student on account of this, right?
Yes, please.
Okay. Right.
We don't want her to be far from us, at least when she's home and she's going. I mean, she's able to take the public transport by herself, go to school and come back and all.
Okay, great. Yes. That is what I wanted to capture. And highlight for my listeners. Many thanks for sharing, and we're happy she's responded to treatment and she's getting on with her life, right?
Yes,
if she was born to other parents in other locations or scenarios, she might be kept at home just on account of this condition. So I applaud you, and I applaud you for sharing as well. Okay,
thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank
right.
You.
030-221-6541 Ultimate Health on Joy 99.7. If you can share your experiences or just ask your question of my doctors, Dr. Mills and Dr. Dakwa in the studio.
Joy 99.7.
Okay, docs, anything you want to say to that? What she just shared? So, frequency of seizures has dropped significantly.
Yes.
Is this often a target in your treatment of, identified epilepsy? Right, and she's achieved some significant drop in the frequency of seizures. But what I do note also is that her daughter is getting on with her life. I have another call.
Yes.
I'll come back to you guys.
Okay.
All right. Hello. Good afternoon. Hello. Hello. Okay. Seems to be a problem with that line. Please call us again and. My producer, Chris BK, will transfer you. Okay, let me read this out and then we add it to the impact on quality of life and so on.
Yeah.
Naughty by nature, can you please ask the medical professionals if blood group or trace of any sickness from one partner or both can lead to a child being born with epilepsy. Prosper is back. Prosper. That's your name. No, Prosper, next week you have to be in the studio. I beg you.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
I need to do some Christian training with him. Mm-hmm. All right. But blood group and other things, are they related?
A blood group is not related to the risk of anyone developing epilepsy, okay. No.
Or trace of any sickness?
Not off the top of my head that I can think of, no.
So Prosper, you are working lotto. All right? Right. But clinically, my guests are here and they are saying that, okay. So it's not, disproportionately related to any blood group or any of these things?
No, it's not.
Yes.
Okay. All right? Prosper, we are clear, okay? Take leave for the rest of the day. But we are always happy to have you on board. If you have any questions, concerns, share with us. I have another caller. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Please lower the volume on your set, please.
Yeah, my name is...
Go ahead.
From Wager. So, I wanted to find out, there is this perception of people with a PE or with seizures may be products of maybe some incestuous relationship. I don't know how.
Esawara. Where did you go and catch? Please, you said you are who from Wager?
Daniel
from Wager. Where did you go and capture this perception?
It's amazing. I have had this perception since childhood. I've run my mind for all this. Okay. At least I want.
You want to? Go ahead.
Then again, I want, do people with such conditions go out of, just go out for once you have it for your life.
Okay. Obviously, you tuned in late because you want to know if it can be treated. Do you have it for life? My guest will answer that again. And then this, is it Toli or folklore? He says that he's heard that people who have it may be or are suspected to be the product of incestuous relationships.
Mm-hmm.
My lips are sealed, but I hand over to you.
Okay, so I'll answer the first part again about people with epilepsy and it's being treatable. Depending on the cause of an individual's epilepsy, as well as the type of epilepsy that they have, some patients with epilepsy, up to 70%, can have their epilepsy treated and will no longer need anti-seizure medication.
Okay.
In children as well, some seizures are termed as benign. So for instance, absence seizures,
mm-hmm.
the typical absence seizures will usually be outgrown by a child by the time they reach adolescence.
Okay.
And there are other types of epilepsy like that.
Okay.
And for the myth about epilepsy being a result of, what was the word?
Incestuous.
I think that boils down to the myth of it being spiritual or due to someone being cursed, and it is not
true. Okay, I got this from Ibrahim in East Legon. He says epilepsy is called fafadia in Hausa. Okay, two A's. Fafadia in Hausa. I'm learning a lot thanks to your panel. That's why we bring them. Listen every Sunday, 2:05. We come alive on Ultimate Health. There was another one, says, my partner has seizures. Okay. We have a son. I want to know how would this affect their recollection of past events. Mm-hmm. From Morris. My partner has seizures. We have a son. So he's looking for an effect on memory or retention, right? I'm not too sure whether on the son or on the husband or partner.
Right. Okay, let me address that.
Okay.
So one of the things we advocate for is for early detection of patients living with epilepsy or seizures.
Okay.
Whenever there's a burst of electrical activity that is abnormal,
mm-hmm.
there's an affectation to the brain.
Okay.
So especially for children who are in their developmental years, continuous seizures gives them poor cognitive decline.
Okay.
And sometimes we have memory issues as well.
Okay.
So it's important for such patients to come early.
So this is if the child in this scenario has seizure disorders.
Yes.
Right? Or seizure disorder. But this person suggests and says, my partner has seizures. We have a son.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The second part of the question is not properly linked. So you've perhaps answered if the child has also been diagnosed mm-hmm. with seizures. There is an impact on cognitive ability or
yes.
capacity. Okay, good. Right. Is it possible to address, well, it would be the same for the partner then, mm-hmm. wouldn't it? If he has it. If I'm an adult with epilepsy, would I also, should I say, evidence these challenges cognitively?
With adults, the effect is milder.
Okay.
But I also want to add that there may be other things involved.
Okay.
I mentioned that patients with a stroke, for example,
mm-hmm.
can have epileptic seizures.
Okay.
And this may not be due to the epilepsy alone, but maybe the stroke that has formed
okay.
may affect their memory, depending
okay.
on the part of the brain that was okay. affected.
All right. So, hello, Doc. Apparently, a particular episode of Pokemon cartoons triggered an epileptic seizure in children watching in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad this has come up. Screen use
mm-hmm.
and some of these disorders, right? There was a quick flash in the cartoon and it triggered. We haven't talked too much about triggers
mm-hmm.
of seizures. What accounts for this? This is from Selassie Njolu.
All right. So we've mentioned that when an individual has a seizure is because there's abnormal
electrical
activity in their brain. And sometimes in some people with some of their seizures, it could be triggered by certain events.
Okay.
So I remember, well, back in the day when you're watching a movie, there might be a warning that there may be flashes of lights and this could trigger seizures in those who have epilepsy.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the triggers for some individuals with epilepsy is flashing lights. You could also have things like certain stresses. You mentioned someone who was getting ready for BEC mm-hmm. and the caller mentioned that thankfully during the period her daughter didn't experience any seizures.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like it's something she was expecting.
Right.
Because you know that when there's
a stress
when children or individuals are not getting enough sleep,
mm-hmm.
if there are things like increased alcohol intake, if even,
right.
it could trigger
okay.
Seizures in individuals with epilepsy.
All yes. right. And of course, once it's triggered and it is manifest or evident in front of other people, then they start to link and associate
mm-hmm.
the triggers or where you were, what you were doing. And then the stories go round and round and
yeah.
round and
what
round.
You waited.
Morris emphasizes that the partner is the one with the
okay.
epilepsy in the scenario shared. All too soon, we're out of time. But I'm going to give you a menu and I'm going to insist that I'll capture and kidnap these two, this pair, the calm one and the not so calm one. Yeah? All right. But yes, triggers. Okay. And then thresholds. Some people have very low thresholds
mm-hmm.
and medication is used to work out these things so that you have less of the seizures and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Okay. We know of people getting an aura,
mm-hmm.
right? A sense that it's going to happen. In a sense, they know it is about to go down. Right? And we'll talk about those things. Then we'll talk about what the medications do. Some of the medications I know also have some known effects on cognitive ability, wakefulness or consciousness, and so on and so forth. I had a child in one of the schools, and the parent had never told the teachers
mm-hmm.
that this child was on Tegretol. Right? Tegretol is phenobarb, right?
No, carbamazepine.
Carbamazepine, sorry. Right. Carbamazepine. And at some instances, he is a bit less attentive and maybe even drowsy in class.
Yeah.
And I said, well, we need to have a meeting with the school
mm-hmm.
on this. All this and more. Hopefully next week. Do I have a promise? Are you going to come? Hey, Charlie, Crispy K, can we connect electricity to their seat? Shock them some more
and induce a seizure.
Yes, I will induce